AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump is back in Washington, having left the G7 summit in Canada early due to the Israel-Iran fighting. Aboard Air Force One, the president said he wasn't aiming for a ceasefire, but for a permanent end, or for Iran giving up. He urged people to evacuate Tehran. Also on the plane, Mr. Trump was asked if he plans to call Minnesota Governor Tim Walz about the deadly shootings of state lawmakers.
I'm not calling him. Why would I call him? I could call him and say, hi, how you doing? The guy doesn't have a clue. He's a mess. So, I could be nice and call him, but why waste time?
One of the worst Russian air attacks in Ukraine's capital of the war happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. One of the two doctors accused in the overdose death of Friends TV star Matthew Perry is expected to plead guilty with a maximum sentence of 40 years in prison. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the deadline for submitting applications to join the Beaver Management Plan Committee is this week. The agency is seeking organizations that focus on things like trapping, fishing, agriculture, and conservation. The committee will be tasked with providing input to the Department of Natural Resources during the development of an updated beaver management plan. More information can be found on the DNR's Beaver Management Plan webpage, and applications will be accepted until Friday. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley released a statement on Friday criticizing the level of school funding in the budget approved by the Republican-controlled Joint Committee on Finance. Dr. Underley said the budget motion fails the state's students, educators, and public schools, arguing that it raises property taxes, cuts youth mental health funding, and doesn't support students with disabilities. School funding has become a controversial topic in recent years as districts across the state turn to operational referendums to solve their budget issues. Law enforcement authorities say a recent investigation into an alleged assault in Washburn County led to the recovery of methamphetamine and an explosive device. According to court documents, authorities were investigating 40-year-old Jonathan Bryan of Trigo in connection to an alleged violent assault in the county when they made the discovery. Bryan now faces charges of possession of an improvised explosive device and methamphetamine, as well as intimidation of a witness. The Marathon County Bomb Squad assisted in the disposal of the explosive device. Two men have been charged in relation to an armed burglary investigation involving a 12-year-old in Cumberland earlier this month. According to court documents, 19-year-old Logan Draper of Watertown and 18-year-old Christopher Glazer of Oconomowoc were each charged with felony armed burglary, theft of movable property, and intentionally contributing to delinquency. The pair, along with the victim's 12-year-old daughter, are accused of breaking into the home and stealing a safe containing two firearms and about $30,000 worth of cash and coins. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where the Brewers begin a three-game series tonight at Wrigley Field against the first-place team, the Chicago Cubs, led by manager Craig Counsell. Although the Brewers were able to slip into second place after beating the Cards 3 out of 4 games, Pat Murphy says there's still room for growth.
We're still young. We're still figuring out. We're not like the Cardinals or the Cubs or the Reds. They got a set kind of 10 or 12 guys they go with. We're still figuring things out. This is a group. They're the right dudes. And that's why they play to win.
College football, the Badgers excited about 6'1" receiver Zion Legree out of Florida agreeing to commit to Wisconsin next year. Receivers coach Jordan Reed asked if his guys are anxious to return after going 5-7 last season.
It's a hungry room for that reason alone. Everybody feels they got something to prove. Everybody feels. And really, we're taking it as a room mentality. We got everything to prove this year.
That's the Badgers receivers coach Jordan Reed with sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with temperatures in the upper 70s this afternoon. Scattered thunderstorms tonight and more scattered storms tomorrow with some locally heavy rain, 1/4 to 1/2 inch or more possible tomorrow into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 59.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings, but there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4, I'm joined by Senate candidate in Iowa, J.D. Schulten. He's running against Joni Ernst. I'm joined by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and State Senator Dora Drake talking biennial budget. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 7:06. Nice to be back in the central time zone here to say it's 7:06, and nice to have you here up north. Not as far north as Saskatchewan, but nice to be back home on this Tuesday morning, June 17th, 2025. Along the way, we've got Luann Byrd standing by to talk about holding members of Congress accountable for their support of cutting people's stable and affordable Medicaid health care coverage. That's coming up in just a bit. We'll talk to Dan Hagen from WJFW Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. We'll be talking to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser about the latest round of uncertainty caused by President Trump when it comes to mass deportations and workers on farms and, frankly, throughout America's food supply. Then in our next hour, we'll be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau. And finally, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and political editor for Civic Media will join us to talk about the state Democratic convention and a reaction to his column last week about whether Governor Evers should run for a third term. So a lot to cover here this morning, but first let's get to that forecast where it was a stormy one for a lot of folks. Not everybody saw storms yesterday, but the ones that did got some really heavy rains. Let's see what the rest of the week holds before a big hot change for the weekend from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. A little rough last night up northwest. You know, we had a tornado warning just south of Hayward. Trigo, there was a funnel cloud spotted there. And of course, that tornado warning went out into Stone Lake, into the reservation area and stuff. And heavy, heavy rain, like you mentioned. And now finally, we're in the clear. There's some spots of sun, especially south, even far north, mixed in with those clouds right now. Temperatures are at about 60 degrees north, 70 degrees far south, and highs today are climbing. We're talking about near 80 degrees up into the Northwoods and near 90 far southeast today. So it won't be as sticky as yesterday, but still a little bit far south. And that's where more storm chances are going to be popping up today. So northwest Wisconsin, you're in the clear. You've got a few dry days ahead of you. Now the storms are going to be focusing on the southern part of the state. We've got a front that's stalled out there. It's going to hang out there today. It's going to continue to pump more rain, showers, and storms through the area tomorrow, which will become more widespread. But south, you are looking at the flooding potential as we go into tomorrow. So heads up for that. But tonight, after about 6 o'clock, we are looking at those storms starting. They shouldn't last long. They should be done by about 8 or 9. We could see some high winds or hail with those. Otherwise, widespread rain, showers, storms moving in tomorrow, probably midday for the entire evening. Winding down overnight, we could see some flooding, like I said, a good 1 to 2 inches in places.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah. And what's with the shirt today says, Bigfoot stole my curds. What's that about?
It's one of my favorites. Simon's Cheese in Appleton, they sell this shirt. And I just fell in love with it. I had to get it. He's got his little bag of curds and he's walking away through the woods. So
never underestimate the marketing power of a good t-shirt.
Exactly.
It's very true. Let's see. From Rob in Tigerton, good morning. It's cloudy, 69. Last night in the Tigerton area, we had 17 one-hundredths of an inch of rain. I was busy mowing 4 yards in the Wittenberg area. He says, yesterday in Juneau, Alaska, they had their first ever severe thunderstorm warning with 60-mile-an-hour winds. Alaska also had its first ever heat advisory. Can you confirm either one of these things, Brittany?
I cannot confirm just yet, but you know, it is interesting. If a high pressure sets up there, they can get those heat domes. So I wouldn't doubt it. It's possible.
Yeah, I know. I have not checked in with Dr. Kristen Lyerly yet because I know she's up in the Hibbing area and they had some real rough weather and tornado warnings up there yesterday. And Rob goes on to note, with more rain and then the warm weather this weekend, the corn crop will grow big time and he'll be even busier mowing lawns. I don't know when he's going to find time to do yours and mine or Parker's.
I know, right? I know. But he's right. Rain is a good thing. All that growing. Gotta love it.
That's right. I suppose he wants one of those pain gigs. So, all right. Sounds good. Thank you, Brittany. We'll talk to you more in an hour. We'll probably get into whether you eat all your vegetables, too, because, you know, today is Eat Your Vegetables Day. And now we're getting into definitions of what a vegetable is off air. So stick around for that.
Very interested in that conversation.
I'm very interested in what Luke Mathers sent us during the commercial break here. Yeah. But we'll look at channeling that one in an hour or so, because we got to get to Luann Bird, our friend who's helping continue to make people aware of what is in President Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill, the cuts to Medicaid that are in there, and much more, and the members of Congress from Wisconsin who all supported it and need to hear more about how that would impact people. Luann Bird, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, you bet. Nice to see you again. Where, you have not lost a step in your public advocacy out here for causes like this, like letting people know, you know, that there's a lot of affordable health care out there that is at risk in this Trump budget. And is it today that you're doing some activities in the first congressional district to let folks know about Congressman Brian Steil and his support for the bill?
We are. We're holding a town hall in Oak Creek at the Oak Creek Community Center, which is on Howell Avenue in Oak Creek, from 6 to 7:30. And we're hoping to hold him accountable, to talk about what our demands are. And that's what we're doing tonight.
So this is, again, a case where a sitting member of Congress has been invited to a town hall. And again, if this is something you feel strongly about, that this is a budget you support, you kind of figure as a member of Congress, you should be willing to go anywhere, anytime, and talk to people about it. But I have to admit, Luann, I'm not really going to hold my breath that Brian Steil is going to show up tonight for your event.
That's right. That's right. We aren't expecting him. They never respond to my requests. So, but we're going to, what we do is we have people come up to the microphone. We have a replica of Brian Steil standing there. It's kind of cute, and it's white because he ghosts us. And then we're going to record everybody's comments. And today we're moving from just comments to accountability. We want their questions, and we're going to list those questions and then take those to Brian Steil. And we did that last time. There was a group of us that marched right to his office, a couple days later, and we go to the office in down south here in Milwaukee County, and it's in St. Francis, and deliver and gave him comments. We gave him signatures. We gave him note cards, because all of that matters. We have the power. We have the power to change things. We own it and we're changing it. That's our motto. That's our, in this area.
And the thing, Luann, is that it's not just these events that you're organizing, but I mean, you show up at several places. The last place I saw you was having a very earnest conversation with Speaker Robin Voss, for example, about him still being the single obstruction to expanding Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days postpartum to 12 months, a very vulnerable time in a woman's life. And why not expand Medicaid overall for that matter? And he at least engaged you in a conversation, which wouldn't happen if you weren't out there willing to say, hey, can I talk to you for a second?
That's right. I showed up at his town halls. No, they were called listening sessions. Yes. So that's what you got to do if you want to have access to people. And within a couple of weeks, I was in front of Ron Johnson as well, because I went to his local event here. And when they walk in the room, I don't sit there. I get up and I go talk to him. And I brought my videographer with that time. So we've got lots of footage of what Robin Voss said about a lot of issues, including guns violence and how they're manipulating the state budget. There's all kinds of things you can do. You just can't sit back. So we have access. We have power. And I'm using it every time I can. You know, we had 1,000 people show up on the corner of Layton and 76 for the No Kings protest in Greenfield. More than 1,000 people. We lined the streets for blocks up and down there. And it just happened to be a day when they closed the highway off. So there was a ton of traffic coming down Layton. And that's what we do. We're taking our power back. And so many people came out for the first time and held those signs up and said, you know, we don't want a king. We want democracy. We're standing up to this regime.
And yet, because of the tragic events in Minnesota last weekend, I feel it's really important to make the distinction that, you know, in the case of the No Kings rally and all the things that you've been doing, that it is possible and it is frankly mandatory to state your point of view and protest with a big crowd, whatever the case may be, but you can do so peacefully. And that is a cornerstone of democracy.
That's right. And I was at the Democratic Convention Saturday. So after the No Kings protest, I went to the Dells and there was a big police presence there. And I did not realize why. I didn't realize that some of my colleagues, my friends, I should say, in the Wisconsin State Legislature, including our friend Tammy Baldwin, and I was with Mark Pocan Saturday night, I didn't know they were targeted. That shouldn't happen in America, and we should denounce anything like that. You're right. We should be safe, but we also cannot let it stop us. We can't let it stop us. And I'm going to say that the majority, the responses we got when we were standing on that street corner were positive. People are tired of this, and now we just have to find ways to organize and make our views known. And the other thing I did is I went last week, a couple of us went down into a low-income Section 8 housing unit in Kenosha, and we listened to their concerns. And by the way, most of the people in there were actually Trump people. And we, but by the time we were done, we had built a high level of trust, and we found out that we agree on everything. And I learned what SNAP is. These are the things that are being cut in the budget. You know, these folks get SNAP. You know what that means? $2 a day for food, and we have to cut that. And then they say, well, you can just go to a food pantry. You know what, Pat? They don't have cars. They can't drive. They're poor people. So I learned a lot. We took those questions to Brian Stile, and he actually responded. So,
and I'm glad about that, because I say that as somebody who grew up in Section 8 housing with a mom who did not have a car. And so, you know, racing off to the food pantry wasn't an option, but we were on SNAP benefits.
Right.
And
that's right.
Again, like so many other, and, you know, she was waitressing the overnight shift, you know, at the time at a truck stop. There are all kinds of hardworking families doing this. And I bring this up because I don't want somebody like a Brian Stile or a Derek Van Orden or whatever to say, well, I'm not holding listening sessions because of all the political violence out there. That's a cop out. That there are plenty of places where you can meet people like Lou Ann Bird and others who can make their point, and you can make their point to them and do so in a civil fashion and maybe change some hearts and minds along the way.
You know what else I did, Pat? I took in order to give you folks that are listening an opportunity to take action, I made a phone booth so that I could make my point. It was a big red phone booth. Took it to the park at Humboldt Park so that people could use their, what I'm calling, superpowers and make phone calls. So it was like a Superman, a play on Superman. And I had my red cape and my little red mask. And I'm like, come on, you guys. All you got to do is call this number, you know, 202-224-5232, and call Ron Johnson and say, behind me, like, vote no on the budget. Vote no, because we don't, and here's what Ron Johnson always says, we don't want to mortgage our children's future away. This budget's going to increase the debt. It's not cutting spending. It's rearranging the dollars. That's all you got to say.
All right.
Don't go to that, oh, it's bad. It's cutting, you know, benefits and everything. No, it's just vote no.
Lou Ann Bird remains a force. Lou Ann Bird, L-U. A-N-N Bird, L-U-A-N-N Bird.com to learn more. Lou Ann, thank you so much. Always so great
to see
you. All right.
You too. Thank you.
Have a great day. A local update is next for some of you. Others will be back as we visit with Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. And in 15 minutes, we'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Milwaukee Brewers are on the road this week. They've got three games at Wrigley Field starting this evening. Let's see, pregame coverage is at 6:30 on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward, where you can catch the Brewers and Cubs this evening, tomorrow evening, then again on Wednesday afternoon before they head to Target Field in downtown Minneapolis for a weekend series with the Minnesota Twins. Oklahoma City beat Indiana last night to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. And Florida is up 3-2 over Edmonton in the Stanley Cup Finals and could clinch with a win tonight in Miami. If Edmonton wins, there will be a Game 7 Friday night up in Edmonton. And one more interesting sports trivia point, and I missed this yesterday. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar trade to the Lakers. It was on June 16th, 1975, that the Bucks traded the soon-to-be three-time MVP for Junior Bridgman, Dave Myers, Elmore Smith, and Brian Winters, a trade that really enhanced the makeup of both teams down the line. A lot of what-ifs if that trade had never happened. But there you were. It was 50 years ago yesterday that that happened. 7:24 the time right now. Let's bring in Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV and Rhinelander Newswatch 12. How are you, Mr. Hagen?
I'm doing well. I believe I'm going to do my actually, Pat. it was Lou Alcindor, right? That was traded. And then later and then his name got changed. I know we're splitting hairs.
No. I had forgotten to update the copy on here. So thank you for clarifying that. How are things in your neck of the Northwoods?
Life is good. Although we've had a dismal stretch of days. I don't know what it's like for you down in the Chippewa Falls area, but cloudy, rainy, and we got rain in the forecast pretty much every day until Thursday, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've said for some time here, it's one of those where if you have to mow the lawn and it's growing like crazy with the rain, but you got to find just the right time where the grass is dry enough to mow, but before the next round of rain comes in. And if you don't, I mean, I live next door to a farm, so I can borrow their hay baler if need be.
Okay.
But otherwise, it is clump central this time of year if you don't get it just right. So what kind of stories are you working on up there for the nice folks at NewsWatch 12?
Yeah, of course. So it's interesting having Hans Brighton Moser on following me because he relates to a story about a nursing home. There are about 36 county-owned nursing homes in Wisconsin still. So these are nursing homes that are operated by the county and funded by taxpayers in the county. And there's a nursing home in Lincoln County, which is Tomahawk, Merrill, if you're unfamiliar, nursing home called Pinecrest Nursing Home. And it's been funded by taxpayers for about 70 years. And a lot of people who are poor stay at this place. It accepts Medicaid and Medicare. And the county has been trying to sell Pinecrest for a couple of years now. A previous sale fell through because a county board member sued the county and the buyer pulled out. But there's a new buyer now. This buyer, Ensign Group, has nursing homes all over the country. And the latest chapter will be this evening when the county board meets and the county board will vote on whether to approve the sale or not. A lot of people are upset about this potential sale, given that they're worried that the quality may suffer and it may be more expensive. And then on the flip side of that, it's been operating at a loss generally, this county nursing home Pinecrest, maybe like $1 million a year, more than $1 million a year, it costs the county. People would argue that it's a good investment, but just that's both sides of it for you.
Yeah, but well, here's where you really get into it. And again, I'm surprised to hear that there's still 36 county-owned nursing homes. I mean, it used to be a staple of all the counties. As a new reporter 40 years ago, some of my first stories were whether Eau Claire County should still be in the nursing home business, should Chippewa County still be in the nursing home business. But again, that's one way to frame it, is should the county be in the nursing home business? The other way is, should nursing homes be a business? Because as you know, once you bring in that for-profit corporate business model, you have to ask yourself, did we just privatize an essential service? You know, we don't privatize the phones. There's a lot of things we don't, or the roads rather. We don't privatize a lot of things. And should this be one of them that, you know, these are folks who have been your taxpayer for decades and now, you know, they don't have a lot of means, but they want to stay in the county. Should a nursing home be one of those, you know, essential services that a county provides? So yeah, I've been covering both sides of this, it seems, you know, for decades, and obviously it will be something that happens for some time to come. And I'm not a bit surprised to hear, Dan, that it continues to generate a lot of debate both ways around there.
Yeah, I mean, just going off of your argument there, I mean, these are literally the most vulnerable people. They're old, they don't have a lot of money, and like you said, they've been paying a long time taxes to support this nursing home. You know, this new group, Ensign Group, has, you know, they're in the New York Stock Exchange, right? So yeah. What's going to be their first priority? But like I said, it's costing the county money. So I don't quite know how all the figures work into that. But
well,
it's an interesting debate.
It's like when people say, well, you know, trains, you know, we haven't expanded rail because they should pay for themselves. Again, coming back to the road analogy, we don't do that. We don't say, well, the roads have to pay for themselves. It just does. We don't say, you know, the military has to pay for itself. You just do. And you have to make that decision. And all these things, are these the things you do? Or do you say, well, it's no longer an essential service. Let's turn it over. Cassandra puts on YouTube, you know, it will suffer if a private company buys it. Private companies are horrendous. I could tell stories. I'm sure there are benevolent companies out there as well. I'm sure there are some that start benevolent, but they get so big, you know, and then they start looking for cost cuttings and things like that. You can completely see why this is such a hot topic for folks in Lincoln County. And yes, Hans Brighton Moser, a former Lincoln County board member, will be joining us right after the break. But we got caught up on the news aspect of it with Dan Hagen from NewsWatch 12 and Rhinelander. Thank you so much. Good to visit with you here.
Anytime, Pat. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And yes, Hans Breiten Moser is standing by. We'll talk to him about that and President Trump's latest flip-flop on ag mass deportations right after the Midwest Farm Report across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Some big budget cuts potentially on the horizon for families that face food insecurity and, in turn, the farmers that try to help them. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Details on potential cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. That's next.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
It is estimated that in Wisconsin, some 618,000 people face food insecurity every day, not knowing where their next meal will come from. Now, potential cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program could mean another 700,000 people will be impacted. Jackie Anderson is executive director of Feeding Wisconsin, and she said a lot of those people impacted kids.
I was talking to someone at Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin the other day, and he said that the spike in childhood hunger since 2021 is the biggest since the Great Recession, which means that over the past couple of years, the need in childhood hunger has absolutely increased. And so that means that then our food pantries, again, are having to augment that. So one of the food partners that they work with in Fond du Lac actually reached out to Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and said that already she's seeing that the school program that they offer is almost too popular and is in danger of not being sustainable.
Jackie Anderson, she's the executive director of Feeding Wisconsin. She said right now the Senate is proposing an additional $211 billion reduction in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program operating funds. She said that not only hurts the families and children that depend on it, it also makes it difficult to use the funds available to buy locally, and that impacts local growers.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
And today, the Midwest Farm Report team's headed to Bear Creek for a preview on this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Follow us, Midwest Farm Report, on social media, and we'll share the details. I'm Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with temperatures in the upper 70s this afternoon. Scattered thunderstorms tonight and more scattered storms tomorrow with some locally heavy rain, a quarter to a half inch or more possible tomorrow into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin.
Chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app, Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Pat Kreitlow, back from adventures in Canada, will be joining us to break down the news. Retired Major General Randy Manner will be here as well. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Hey, Up North News now has newsletters 7 days a week, our regular Monday through Friday, which is a mix of Wisconsin features and news. We have a new sports newsletter on Saturdays, all about the good stories and good people behind Wisconsin sports. And then on politics, the guy that does that show, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, you know him? He does a newsletter now called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about Wisconsin politics. You can subscribe at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. It always includes a question of the week, which this week is whether Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. We'll talk to Dan Schaefer about that 1 hour from now here on the program. But Hans Breitenmoser was at the state Democratic convention, and I'm guessing it may have been a conversation there. We'll get into that, and we'll get into the conversation we were just having with Dan Hagen about the Pinecrest Nursing Home and whether counties should continue to operate their nursing homes or sell them off to the private sector. And then there's that whole thing with Hans being a farmer, like, you know, trying to get into the field where it keeps raining and things like that. So we got a lot to cover in the next few minutes. Hans, how are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We were saying before about, you know, you have to time out your lawn mowing just right with all these waves of rain. Are you getting much in for field work?
Well, we got our first crop done before all the rains came, and that was done in good order. And yields were not spectacular on some of the grassier stands because we had such strangely cold weather. But we got it all done before it rained, so we're happy about that. And the corn is growing, the beans are growing, the second crop is growing. So we could use a few sunny days, but I guess it's better than drought, so we'll take it.
I guess so, yep. The latest USDA crop progress report for Wisconsin says first cutting of alfalfa hay was 79% complete, 2 days ahead of last year. The all hay condition was rated 78% good to excellent. That's down 3 points from the week before. Corn planting is nearly complete. Other soybeans planting is nearing completion as well. So that's a quick update on what's happening on the farms all around Wisconsin. But some of those farmers, yourself included, do some work off the farm, which might include public service. And for quite a time, you were on the Lincoln County Board. And so as we continue that conversation about counties and being, you know, operators of nursing homes, you know about the Pinecrest issue up there. That's something pretty near and dear to your time of service on the county board.
Yeah. So I was on the county board for 10 years, and I've been off the county board for a couple of years now. But it is the case that, you know, during my time on the county board, we managed to keep the doors open of our county-owned nursing home. And ever since this current crop of board members came on, they've just been hell-bent on selling our nursing home. And it's really unfortunate because it is a five-star facility. It's been doing well. It's in the black. There's no financial reasons to get rid of it. There's just really absolutely no reason to sell this nursing home. But I really feel like it was this sort of ideological bent of the current majority of the current county board supervisors who came in and said that government just shouldn't be involved in anything. And we're going to whittle it down. This is the same county board who got rid of UW Extension in our county, and we had a fight like hell to keep 4-H. They got rid of, just basically anything that's not mandated by the state is what they want to get rid of. And it just doesn't make any sense because while this proposed owner of this you know, the nursing home, they own 340 other properties, and perhaps they're quite good at it. But the reality is, if your grandma's in a nursing home and they own 340 facilities like that, I'm here to tell you, she's going to be a number on a spreadsheet. She's not going to get the same level of care that she would in a county owned facility. And that's proven by facts. I mean, there's plenty of evidence out there that suggests that the publicly owned nursing homes provide a higher level of care than the private ones. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out why. It's because the private ones are there to make a profit, and there's no shame in that. But bottom line is, there's 4% that's got to go out the door to make sure that the operation is profitable. We don't have that motive here at the county level.
Yeah, it comes back to that whole notion of, look, these are folks who have been taxpayers in the county. They've been citizens in the county for all of this time. And should some of those taxes go toward this kind of care? We don't weigh the benefits on other essential services like, you know, the roads and things like that. And just because the private sector does something does not necessarily mean it's the only option that needs to be available. You're really making it sound, and I'm not surprised, that this is so much more about political ideology than it is about, you know, community service.
It's totally about that. And it's unfortunate because I think a lot of that political ideology has come from from big business who've, you know, set their eyes on things like nursing homes and prisons and schools and said, there's money to be made here. And so we need to convince people out in the hinterlands that, you know, the government is incapable of doing anything right, and the private sector does everything splendidly. And then that ideology seeps in, and here we are. But it's not, there's no basis in fact. And I think it's a county board's job or any local government's job to look at the facts that they have on the ground, see how their situation is going, and also listen to their constituents, by God. Because, you know, I know here in Lincoln County, there's just been a huge outcry about this. There's very, very few people that are in favor of this change to a privatized nursing home, and the county board flat out refused to do a referendum question or have any public input taken seriously. Private, so many closed door meetings and so forth, and it's just really unfortunate how this whole thing has gone down. And so I'll be at the county board meeting tonight, giving my two cents from a different podium than I used to have.
We're talking to Hans Brighton Moser, former member of the Lincoln County Board here and a dairy farmer as well. And so let's get into that other farm related topic, which was somewhat surprising on Thursday when President Donald Trump put up on his tiny social media site something about, you know, how his mass deportations, maybe it hasn't been great to be doing mass deportations in the hotel and hospitality businesses. And so he has been instructing ICE and others to kind of let off the gas for hotels and hospitality and basically come down even harder in those big bad blue cities, because apparently, you know, work there is different than work out in the country. It really, I don't know, Hans, what do you think motivated it? Does he really mean it? Is it going to change anything?
I'm sure I don't know, Pat, because I think if we know anything about this administration, they have the capacity to flip and flop quite frequently and regularly for no real good reasons or anything that can be explained with any kind of common sense whatsoever. It's clear that this administration is perfectly capable of doing things that are absolutely politically motivated. And so if all sorts of, you know, blue areas, urban areas are in the crosshairs, that doesn't surprise me more, you know. So is this going to be, are we going to feel less pressure here out in the countryside and in agriculture with regard to undocumented folks who work for us? It's difficult to say because things do change quickly, but I think some of the going after blue areas more than red areas, I think that is by design. I also think that some organizations like the American Business Immigration Coalition has done a really good job in lobbying the administration and lobbying our lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, on how important foreign-born employees are to agriculture. And hopefully that's starting to sink in because they are. And hopefully we can get over this notion that everybody who's come from another place is somehow some raging criminal and they're up here just so busy, you know, committing crimes that they're not going to work.
Well, you'd certainly think so based on Trump's post, where after talking about change would be coming, he said in a post on Sunday, "We need to focus on our crime-ridden and deadly inner cities and those places where sanctuary cities play such a big role. You don't hear about sanctuary cities in our heartland." Well, actually, last week or so, there were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. It's just that now instead of going after brown people in red areas, it's going after brown people in blue areas, which, again, our politics is overly simplistic based on colors, team red, team blue. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after, you know, the brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. I think that sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell, maybe.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be, but that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown-up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign-born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so, you know, anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them for any problems that we might have, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that, because by God, they should know better.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, my response to that is, when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you just in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. We've spoken at length about it. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on, or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, you know, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be, but I mean, it's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only three of us left. That the dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June Dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small, and it does help the public appreciate, you know, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy, and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, the more part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
Exactly. Hans Breitenmoser from Lincoln County, thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later.
You bet. Be good, Pat. Thank you.
All right. You bet. A local update is next for some of you. For the rest of you hanging around here, we'll talk about Western Wisconsin happenings and more. And in our 8 o'clock hour, Dan Schaefer and Chad Holmes, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma.
If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Do we have a little Dick Dale going on now? Is that what that says? Or?
I have no idea. I just found it. Yesterday, I was like, hey, it's time for new music. Let's just do it. Rip the Band-Aid. We're going crazy.
It sounds very much like the surf music of that era. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder if this guy's got any copyright problems over here. But hey, you found it in the library. If it's in the library, it's fair game.
We're clear.
Let it roll. All right. Welcome back, everybody. 7:53 right now. Catching up with some of the other headlines. I was looking around in western Wisconsin, for example. Governor Evers was recently in La Crosse talking about the topic of affordable housing. This from the WEAU TV site, where he was looking at an affordable housing project in the area called Collective on 4th. And he told folks there, every time we talk about what we need to do better in our state, housing is something everyone has to have. It's critical. It becomes kind of a linchpin to the good life here in Wisconsin. Nicole Solheim said the city of La Crosse has been proactive and vocal about the need to prioritize housing, and says that talking to leaders like Governor Evers is important to emphasize how affordable housing is to be key for a thriving community. And it is something that I've heard discussed by legislators. Frankly, on both sides of the aisle, they may disagree on the best way to get there. One side is basically addicted to the idea of tax credits as opposed to direct investments. But at least the conversation is on the table there someplace, and we're going to need that, because otherwise, you know, we're just going to continue to see in some of these communities an inability to keep jobs if you don't have enough affordable housing, meaning that first wave of housing, your starter homes and things like that. People love to build, you know, McMansions. You get high profit margins on those, but you have to incentivize a good stock of affordable first-time homes if you're going to have a thriving local community. Well, Congressman Derek Van Orden was rightly given the publicity that he deserved in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday for taunting Minnesota's governor, Tim Walz, as a clown and as stupid. That's how Derek Van Orden reacted to the assassination of a Minnesota legislator, the murder of her husband, the shooting of another legislator and his wife. And the story by Lawrence Andrea from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel notes that shortly afterwards on Derek Van Orden's official Twitter account, he says, "Political violence has no place in America. I fully condemn this attack, along with all forms of political violence and intimidation." Yeah, but not too long after that, on Derek Van Orden's personal account is where things go sideways, where he wrote, "Yesterday, a whole pack of election deniers got together and spewed hate," talking about the Saturday protests. "One of them decided to murder and attempt to murder some politicians that were not far enough left for them." In other words, spreading the misinformation that the shooter was somehow part of left-wing politics when, of course, as it was learned not too shortly after that, he was most decidedly a far-right extremist. But he went on to refer to, Van Orden went on to refer to Governor Tim Walz as stupid and a clown in posts that came after that. It drew attention from people like Congressman Mark Pocan, pointing out the vile nature of this. Mark Pocan responded by saying, "Downplaying the killings of elected officials in Minnesota so you can try to own a liberal is pathetic." Did Van Orden seem humbled? Did he seem apologetic? No. He responded to Pocan saying this: "It is statistically impossible that you could be dumb enough to believe what you are writing." That is Derek Van Orden. Later, when Governor Walz posted a photo of himself with the murdered legislator, Melissa Hortman, Van Orden replied to the governor's post saying, "You appointed the crazy zealot that murdered her to one of your boards, you clown. Because that's wrong on every level, I will again ask publicly, is there anybody on Derek Van Orden's staff that can pry his password away to his personal account? Because it's no longer just, he's been embarrassing long enough. He is embarrassing the 3rd Congressional District. He is embarrassing the state of Wisconsin. He's an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin. There's nothing else about it." So asked about the social media posts, Van Orden put out a statement to the Journal Sentinel that said, "The reason politically violent rhetoric and political violence has gone on for so long, even going back to people burning cars when President Trump was first elected, is because nobody is holding the perpetrators accountable. Republicans do not push back when we are insulted, and political violence continues because of it. The individuals who spew this hatred need to be called out," Van Orden said. Well, okay then, Derek Van Orden, I'm calling you out. Knock it off. If you don't know the facts behind a story, don't post it. And if your idea of political discourse is to refer to a governor in mourning of a state as a clown, delete your account. Better yet, delete yourself from office, resign, step away. But by the way, when I said delete yourself, he right away says, "Oh, that's a threat. I'm going to report you." No, Derek Van Orden, you simply need to be removed from office by the voters. morning or 8 o'clock hour on Up North News Radio. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media Political Editor. We're going to be talking about the State Democratic Convention. I have a feeling there was some things said about the 3rd Congressional District, where there are three candidates right now, each hoping to remove Derek Van Orden from office next year. And also, he wrote a little column about whether Governor Evers should seek a third term. There's also a new chair of the State Democratic Party that was voted on at the convention that Dan Schaefer was attending. And we will talk to Chad Holmes as well from our civic media station in Wausau, 98.9 WXCO, about the stories that he's following, especially given that spring sports is finally starting to wrap up. The man is finally starting to get a rest. But we'll also have an updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, all coming up after the 8 o'clock news on these mornings, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's back in Washington because of the Iran-Israel attacks, having left the G7 summit in Canada earlier than expected, and so did ABC's Mary Bruce traveling with him.
Trump telling reporters there on Air Force One that he decided to race back to the White House so that he could, quote, be a little more well-versed and not have to rely on phones as he navigates this crisis.
In Tel Aviv, ABC's Ian Pannell.
A mass exodus from the Iranian capital following warnings from President Trump and Israel. Huge lines of cars, bumper to bumper, on the road out of Tehran.
One of the worst Russian air attacks on Ukraine's capital happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. Makers of many things to eat, including cream cheese, Jell-O, Kool-Aid, and Lunchables,